the Spirit. Signs of the Spirit. Now, when I talk about the Spirit, I'm talking about God's Spirit. All right, we would call him the Holy Spirit. His name is the Holy Ghost in Scriptures. And I want to preach about signs of the Spirit. We understand from the Scriptures what the Bible would call the Godhead, or what we would use the term the Trinity, is about God, is that God is a triune God. All right, it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that triune God is different attributes and different parts of God that he uses to accomplish different things. And the Holy Ghost is God. And God is the Holy Ghost. All right, that's what I want to lay that out in Scriptures. We're not preaching, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about a different God. When we talk about Jesus Christ and his deity, we're not talking about a separate God. Jesus Christ, God the Son, was God manifest in the flesh. All right, so we're not talking about separate gods. We're talking about separate entities of one God. And this morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And I want to talk about signs of the Spirit. Now, to show you this in the Scriptures, I want you to turn here to a couple places. So let's do that now. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Let me lay a little bit of groundwork here. And then we'll get into the message with the points and all that kind of stuff. But let me lay some groundwork here this morning. Isaiah chapter 6. We are going to turn in the Scriptures. I want you to be able to see these things out of the Scriptures. And of course, I'll quote some other ones so that it's really for you, so your fingers don't get tired. All right, that's what it's for. No, not really. It's so that I can, if I can read more Scripture, it takes less time. Right, so I can read it to you, and we'll turn to some, and I'll read some. But Isaiah chapter 6, I want you to read in verse number 8, or read, follow along with me in verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" All right, now that us, that's God speaking. He says, who's going to go for us? Who's going to go in our place? This is God speaking as the Trinity. He does this sometimes. He says, then said I, "Here am I, send me." This is Isaiah speaking. And he said, the Lord, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert, and be healed." All right, so the Lord is looking for someone to send a message to his people. Isaiah says, I'm the one, I'll do it, I'll go. And the Lord says, go tell them these things. And we just read that in verse number 9 and verse number 10. Now look, flip over to Acts chapter 28. The book of Acts chapter 28. So we can understand, although we read just a few verses there, we can understand Isaiah, and the Lord is speaking. He's speaking as the Trinity. Just like he says in Genesis, we're going to make man in our image. God is talking about the Trinity, the three entities of the Godhead. And so he says, who's going to go for me? And Isaiah says, well, I'll go. And then the Lord says, all right, well, tell my people this. So we get to Acts chapter 28, and let's look in verse number 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake, look what it says, the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. It says, we're not looking so much at what God was saying to his people, but we're looking at who was given credit for saying it. In Isaiah, the Lord said it clearly. And here Paul says, no, I'll tell you who said it. The Holy Ghost said it. Well, how'd that happen? Because they're both the same. It's the Godhead. It's the deity of the Holy Spirit of God and God himself. They spoke these things. Look in Acts chapter number 5. In Acts chapter 5, again, you can see the wording here in just a couple verses apart. The Bible itself says that the Lord said it, and then later the Bible says the Holy Spirit said it. Well, how did that happen? Because they both said it. They are one and the same. Acts chapter 5, in verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira let's hope that clears up. That would have been dicey for the rest of the message to preach with that voice. Lord, help me. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. See, they had said that we're going to give it all. That's what people were doing, and that was people were doing that in the early church. They were selling their possessions and selling other things that they had, and they were bringing it so that it could be distributed amongst those that had need of the church. So Ananias and Sapphira said, that's what we're going to do. And they said, well, we're going to sell something and we're going to give it all. And well, they didn't do that. All right, so they decided to keep some back. But Peter said, verse 3, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And afterward it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Couldn't you not have done what you wanted to do with it? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto what? God. He says, hey, why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost? And then he tells him some things, says, you didn't lie to men. You lied to God. Well, which was it? Was it God or the Holy Ghost? It was the same. It was the same. Why? Because of the Godhead. God is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is God. And we can throw Jesus Christ in there as well. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now we know in John chapter 3, quickly we'll look at verse number 16, John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, for God, all right, we know who that is, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who's the Son? Jesus Christ. All right, so God gave his Son. All right, and for salvation, who do you believe in? You have to call upon the name of the Lord, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. You call upon Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. If you're saved, that's how you got saved. If you think you got saved any other way, you didn't get saved. Why? Because our faith has to be through Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross of Calvary that he did. Say, okay, well, then there was God and then there was the Son. Right. And they were the same. God sent his Son. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. But then look what it says here, starting in verse number 1, John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He was afraid to be seen with Jesus, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Valid question if you don't know what the term born again means. Nicodemus is saying, what? Wait, born again? What? Verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's how you got here, Nicodemus. That's how we're standing here. In front of each other having a conversation. That's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. Why? Because we were born of the flesh. We were born. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the what? Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So what happens at salvation? God sends a manifestation of himself to this earth called the Son. God sends his Son. And for salvation, to die for our sins. And if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God, through the Spirit, his Holy Spirit, saves your soul. That's what happens. God, by the Spirit, says that he allows us to be born again. We're born by the Spirit. And that first birth gives us what we know as this life. And someday this life, because of sin in this body, we will go into the ground. We will die. But if we're born again, born of the Spirit, we're given a spiritual life that is everlasting life. Our soul becomes born again and has the power of everlasting life given to it by the Spirit of God, so that one day when we do take our last breath, or hopefully the Lord comes back to get us. Now, Lord? All right, I'm going to finish the message then. Anytime. You can interrupt me at any time. The Lord, if he comes back, then what happens? We drop this body. We drop this flesh, which is corruptible, and we get a new body, and with our everlasting life, and we go to heaven to be with the Lord. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." That's what else happens. When you get saved, not only does the Holy Spirit of God save you, but God gives you part of his eternal Spirit. Not a part like it's being dissected and a little part's given to us. No, the Holy Spirit of God can indwell all of us here this morning. And for God, that would be easy. But he can also dwell all of us when we leave here and go wherever we're going this week. And all those who are saved and born again, his Holy Spirit indwells us. He has given us part of his Holy Spirit in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8 says, God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Spirit. God has given to us his Holy Spirit. And once you get saved and God gives you that Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, we have the manifestation of God dwelling in us. Say, how does that happen? How is Christ in you the hope of glory? That's what the Bible would say. How is God in us? Well, it's a mystery. No, that's not my term. Those are Bible terms. Bible calls it. Paul says, here is the mystery that what Christ dwells in you. It's a mystery. How can God, part of God, is eternal being, all-powerful being, how can part of God dwell inside of me? I mean, I would think that if God were to come and dwell inside of this body, that I'd just like blow up into a million pieces. Right, I mean, God in his eternity, part of that, he has whittled it down enough to be able to be placed inside of this body. And part of God dwells inside of us. And the idea of the message this morning is not so much that doctrinal aspect, although I wanted to lay the groundwork to show you the truth of it and what it is. But if you and I, who are saved, have God's Spirit in us, there should be some signs. Hence the title. See, look at that. I even try to put it together so it makes sense. signs of the Spirit. There should be some visible clues that God Himself is present in us. There should be some signs. There's going to be, depending on what your likes and dislikes are, there's going to be some signs of what about you, about who you are. I know Brother Daly likes to fish. And so how do I know that? Because he tells me he likes to fish. How else do I know that? Because he's shown me pictures of him holding fish. He likes fishing. If you go up into my office, you'll see a multitude of different things. But one thing you'll see is some sports team paraphernalia in my office. Why? Those are signs of the sports teams that I like. They're visible evidence that I like those teams. It's not a secret. I'm not a fan of a team, you know, in hiding. No, it's out there in the open. This is what I like. These are signs of something in my life that is manifest. And if you and I are Christians with the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, we're saved and born again, there should be some signs where people go, huh. It should be visible in our lives. I'd like to say this firstly this morning. Signs of the Spirit. The first sign is there should be some fellowship of the Spirit. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. There should be some fellowship of the Spirit. Some fellowship of the Spirit. Philippians chapter 2 in verse number 1. Philippians 2 verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, that consolation word, we would use the word comfort or refreshing. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He says, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit. I like to say that the first sign that you should have, if you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, is there should be some fellowship of the Spirit. A fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship is companionship. Right? One man said it's like two fellows in one ship. Fellowship. It's companionship. It's partnership. It's company, having company with someone else. It's having some joint interests. And I'd like to say if you're saved and born again, you should have some fellowship of the Spirit. Now we could run that down and we could read through the passage and we could talk about that fellowship of the Holy Spirit should allow you and I to have some fellowship. And you and I to have some love for one another and to pray for one another. But that's secondary with our actual fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. We should have some fellowship with God's Spirit that dwells inside of us. The Holy Ghost wants to have fellowship with you. The Holy Ghost wants to commune with you in your life. That's why the Bible says that to quench not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quench not the Spirit. Don't throw a wet blanket on the Spirit when it's trying to have some fellowship and communion with you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. God can be working and moving and speaking and we can grieve. We can harden our hearts. Acts chapter number 7, Stephen says, why do you resist the Holy Ghost? We can resist Him. We can grieve Him. We can harden our hearts to the Holy Ghost of God when there should be some fellowship of the Spirit. There should be some fellowship of God's Spirit in our lives. Now, how do we do that? How do we have fellowship with the Spirit? It's a conversation. That's it. Like you and your friends, if you have any. What do? You have conversation. That's how you have fellowship. You have a conversation. Maybe you go out and get a coffee. Maybe you get something to eat. Maybe you text back and forth. Maybe you call them on the phone and talk to them. Remember that when people used to actually call people? Weird world back then. It's a conversation that we can have. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God wants to hear from us and wants to speak to us. Wants to have a conversation. Acts chapter number 8, the Bible says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot." This is Philip the evangelist, and he's going to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Holy Spirit of God speaks directly to Philip and says, "Hey, see that guy? Go get him. You see that guy in a chariot? Go over there. Talk to him." Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God talks to us. It's fellowship of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit talks to us. The Holy Spirit, look in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The Holy Spirit calls and sends. It does this through speaking to us. We can have fellowship with God Almighty, with His Spirit that He's placed inside of us. We can speak to God directly, and God can directly speak to us. If you're saved, I know you've heard it. I don't know when the last time was you've heard it, but I know you've heard it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God speaks so loud, you kind of do one of these. What? Whoa. You know it was the Holy Spirit, but boy, it might as well have been someone saying, "Hello." Gets your attention. Acts chapter number 13. Look in verse 2. The Bible says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted," this is these prophets and teachers that are here at Antioch. "As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." What happened? The Holy Spirit of God calls and sends. He speaks to us. He fellowships with us. He speaks to us directly. And through those that were praying and fasting, as I was mentioned this morning, fasting, putting down the flesh to try to ask God if He could give us some direction. Instead of us just feeding the flesh constantly, what we're trying to do is eliminate some distractions so we can hear God more clearly. That's what fasting does. Now, you might say that adds a distraction because my stomach then starts speaking. I understand, but we put down the carnality of the flesh so that we can listen and hear the Holy Spirit of God speaking if He desires to speak to us. We want to hear Him speak to us. That's what fasting does. And they were fasting and praying and asking God what He wanted them to do. And God called and God sent. How did He do it? By the Holy Spirit of God. John 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Guide you. The Holy Spirit of God in fellowship, He talks, He calls, and He sends. He guides us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides. He directs. And you know what the best way is to hear from the Holy Spirit of God? Is to be a part of the activities that the Holy Spirit loves. Like prayer. Like reading your Bible. Like coming to the church and listening to the preacher preach. And allowing that time when the distractions of the world are put aside and you try to keep your mind stayed on the preacher, stayed on what is trying to be accomplished, and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. You know, if you're listening, if you're desiring, if you're not quenching, and if you're not resisting the Holy Ghost, you know that He's going to speak to you this morning. You know He's going to say something I didn't say. You're going to walk away going, "Wow, how'd the preacher know all about that?" Well, I don't know all about that. But the Holy Spirit of God did. And the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you in your heart. Why? He desires to have fellowship and to talk and to call and to send and to guide. He speaks, and if we're around the Lord, when we're praying and asking God for things in our lives or in somebody else's life, when we're petitioning the Lord, you know what? We're taking things to God, but He's also speaking to us. You can be praying and saying, Lord, I don't know why this is happening. I wish this wasn't this way. And, oh, Lord, I'd rather, and this is what I say. If you're going to complain, complain to God. Don't complain to somebody else. Because then you'll just put them in a spirit of complaining. Don't do that. Just complain to God. And he's okay. He can take it. We can talk to God about anything. Lord, this is happening. I just don't know why. And it doesn't seem fair. And you know what happens when you start talking to God and just pouring your heart out to the Lord? The Holy Spirit of God speaks back to you and says, yeah, but boy, we have a bunch of things to be thankful for. Boy, you should spend some time just thanking the Lord for some of that. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to you even when you're speaking to God. And when you open up God's Word and you labor and spend time and be faithful in the Word of God, you start reading the Bible and you start reading these passages of stories of somebody else about a different time frame and a different thing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God starts to speak to you through His Word. And you start to say, well, that's not about me, but I'm getting, the Lord is speaking, the Lord is guiding and leading and directing me. Why? Because the Spirit of God desires fellowship with you. Jude says, praying in the Holy Ghost. I know that we close our prayer in Jesus' name. I know that, but we're praying to God. The Holy Spirit of God in Romans 8 says He has to take our prayers because we're not even sure what to ask. The Spirit of God takes our utterances and brings those before God's throne, and we pray in Jesus' name. We pray to God through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We're doing all of that. We can say, Lord, help us. What's Lord? He's called the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection. That's what He's called. The Lord, who? Jesus, the man's name. Who is He? Christ, the anointed one. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call out unto the Lord, we pray in His name. We can pray unto the Holy Spirit. Spirit, Holy Spirit, please lead me and guide me right now in this situation. I don't know what I'm supposed to say to this person. Right? We can do that. We can do that praying in the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, it should be evident. What should be evident? That you have fellowship of the Spirit, a relationship with the Spirit of God that leads and guides and directs you and has a say in your life. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? You have fellowship. You have direction. It takes time to do that. It's how it works. What is fellowship of the Spirit? It's a sign of the Spirit. It's a sign of the Spirit, and you should have it. You should have it. Here's another sign of the Spirit. Another sign of the Spirit is having fellowship with the Spirit. But secondly, it's being filled with the Spirit. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, looking in verse number 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's where we get the term, being filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit, I'm talking about in a biblical sense. What I mean by that is I'm not talking about you speaking in some strange gibberish. I'm not talking about you shaking uncontrollably. I'm talking about biblical signs to the Christian. All right, biblical evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Not taking something that was for a certain people a long time ago for a certain section of history and then saying, well, I'm gonna get all that and that's going to be the proof that I have the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about that. We're talking Bible. All right, so being filled with the Spirit. What is being filled with the Spirit? It's being in control, but controlled of God's Spirit. That's what being filled. Now, you can't get any more of the Holy Spirit of God than you have right now. All right? You can't pray extra hard and God will say, well, I'll just give you some more Holy Spirit. No, but we can be filled with the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit to the point where the Spirit is the one that's in control. Say, how do we know? Because it likens it to something else that we can be filled with and controlled with in the very same verse that I just read. What is that? Alcohol. You can drink alcohol and be controlled of the alcohol. I know that you think you know what that limit is, but you don't. And that's why we should stay away from it. All right, but this thing of alcohol, it says, look what it says in the verse again, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, not with wine, be filled with the Spirit of God. You know what alcohol does? It takes away your ability to make good choices. That's what alcohol and drugs and pharmaceuticals, right? Don't take these and drive a vehicle. Or I don't know who, there's a lot of people obviously operating heavy machinery out there. But, you know, the drugs all say, don't take this and operate heavy machinery. What does it do? It takes away your ability to make good choices. It takes away your ability to react and to do things that you should do. It takes that away. And what being filled with the Holy Ghost does is being filled with the Holy Ghost, it urges you to make God's choices. Being filled with the Holy Spirit urges you to make the right choices. That's what it does. It says, be filled with the Spirit, not be filled with another spirit. Another spirit is what happens when you're filled with alcohol and drugs and abused pharmaceuticals and all those kind of things. There's another spirit that is allowed to take control because you don't have control. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. There are some similarities. There are some similarities. I used to work in a restaurant, and it had a bed and breakfast attached to it. It had a restaurant, bed and breakfast, and there was a bar attached to it. And occasionally, working the late night closing shifts, you'd have people that spent too much time at the bar, and they were going to, you know, make it to their rooms. And what happens? Well, they're intoxicated, right? They're filled with something that takes them out of who they are, out of control of who they are, and puts them in a different scenario. You know what some similarities are between filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with a different spirit? When you're filled with the Spirit, you know what happens? You talk more. Now follow me here. You talk more. John chapter 15 says, the Spirit of truth, He shall testify of me. That's what Jesus Christ says about the Holy Spirit of God. And if someone's filled with the Spirit, they talk more. Look in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. A sign of being filled with the Spirit. A sign of being filled with the Spirit is you'll talk more. But what about, look in Acts chapter 5, verse 28. Acts 5, 28. They bring the disciples and the council before the council and the high priest in verse 28 saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Who? Jesus Christ. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, by whom, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The Holy Ghost, look in verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when They had called the apostles and beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed, the disciples, they depart from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What happened? The Holy Spirit of God comes upon these men, and they're moved with the Holy Ghost, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happens? They start talking more. What are they talking about? What the Holy Ghost talks about? Jesus. About Jesus Christ, a sign of being filled with the Spirit is you'll talk about the Lord. You'll talk about the Lord. You'll mention the Lord. You'll want to praise his name. You'll want to talk about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. What is it? It's a sign of the Spirit. It's a sign of being filled with the Spirit. You know, another sign of being filled with the Spirit is uncommon boldness. Uncommon boldness. You're in Acts 5, go to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 5. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel,'" skip down in verse 12, "'neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Look in verse 31, same chapter in verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." You know what a sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost is? You speak about what? Christ. With what? An uncommon boldness. But wait a minute. This person, they're talking about the Lord, and they're talking about like they believe it. They're saying this stuff like it's true, like they believe it to be true, like they live it, like it's important to them. Say, who says that? The people that hear someone filled with the Holy Ghost talk about their Savior. And what is it? It's a sign of the Spirit. It's a sign of the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a sign that the Holy Spirit of God is working in you and filling you to do what? To do the will of God. To talk more, to have uncommon boldness, and to have a power in that. Look in Romans 15. Romans 15. Not a power of muscles. All right, not that kind of power. Not a power like superheroes. I couldn't even come up with it for a second. I knew what I was trying to think of, but not power like superheroes' power. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. 15:13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Joy, peace, hope. Through what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse number 19. "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." With what? He says it's with power. It's with mighty power of the Spirit of God. That's where the power comes from. It's the Spirit of God. And being filled with the power of the Spirit of God, he says, "I've preached the gospel unto you." Why? Because the power is in the gospel. The power is not in the person preaching the gospel. It's in the power of the gospel. The word of God has the power to change lives. You can't convince anybody to get saved. You can't trick them or convince them to get saved. If they're going to get saved, it has to be done by the power of God, by the word of God, and he uses you as a mouthpiece being filled with the Spirit of God to convince of the scriptures and to convict through the Holy Ghost of God of someone's need for salvation. I found myself over and over. I found myself doing it when I'm preaching. You know what's going to cause change in your life? The Holy Spirit of God. And you deciding to give your will over to the Spirit of God, that's what's going to change your life. You know what I found myself doing? I found myself trying to find a way to manufacture and to just preach the one message that is just going to get everyone to give in to the will of God and just do what God wants you to do and just be faithful. And conversely, I can preach a message and I can pour my heart out and the time and the effort and the energy and the prayer, and I can pour my heart out unto God and preach a message, and then nothing happens. Just people being people. The same here, it's the same there, it's the same this, it's the same that. Man, maybe I'm encouraged and there's a short blip of change and then back to whatever. Just back to doing what we want to do. And I say, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong here? Well, how am I screwing this up? The Lord says, just keep saying it. Because it's going to have to be the power of God and them giving over to the power of God, and to stop grieving and to stop quenching and to stop resisting the Holy Ghost of God in your life. Why? Because God wants, you don't think God wants the best for you in this life? You don't think God wants change for you in this life for the better? You don't think God wants to give you the victory in this life? You don't think God wants to use you as a mouthpiece to be a testimony and a witness to others? Of course he does. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. You should have some signs of the Spirit if you're saved and born again. You should be filled to speak and to have boldness and to have the power of God in your life. And then lastly, thirdly, I'd like to say this. Signs of the Spirit should be some fruit of the Spirit. Some fruit of the Spirit in your life. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, some fruit of the Spirit in your life. We understand the idea of fruit. We know what that means. That means anything that bears fruit. It's placed into the ground. It's rooted into the ground. The elements water it and give it sun. And the earth has to, the ground has to be in the right conditions. And what happens? It comes up. And what do we hope happens? It bears fruit. We hope whatever we plant in the garden, we hope that it bears fruit. We hope the tree that's out in the yard, we hope that when it's time, it bears fruit. And we understand how that works. And the Bible says there are the fruit of the Spirit. I look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Why? Because these are the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the lust of the flesh, you'll have fruit. You walk in the Spirit of God, you'll have fruit. Those fruit are not the same. That is not the same fruit. You walk in the lust of the flesh, you'll bear some fruit. You'll have some fruit in your life. You mess around with it long enough, people are going to say, that's the fruit of their life. That's the fruit of their mind and their decisions and their heart. That's the fruit. Why? Because what you love affects you. The Holy Spirit of God, if you're filled with the Spirit, if you have signs of the Spirit, what are you going to have? Some fruit of the Spirit. Some fruit of the Spirit. What is it? It's love. It's love. A supernatural, spiritual love from the Holy Spirit of God. It's love. It's what? It's a love for others. It's a love for the lost. It's a love for the saved. It's a love that God puts in our hearts that is above and beyond ourselves. It allows us to sacrifice. It allows us to have charity. It allows us to care above our own abilities. It allows us to love more than those that just love us. It allows us to give of ourselves. What is it? It's a love of the Holy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I mean, you'd think if God loved you enough to die for you in a sinful, wretched condition, which He did for all of us, and will accept us at our worst, if He loved us enough to send His Son to die for us in that condition, God in us, you'd think we could at least love somebody else, right? The fruit of the Spirit will be if God's love loves me that much, that some of it at least could wear off where we could love others. It's a love. It's a joy. There's joy in the Holy Spirit of God. I think sometimes Christians, we try real hard to not have any joy. We talk about wanting it, but at every turn, we try to squash it so we can just be upset about something. I don't know how it happens. It doesn't come from reading God's Word. It doesn't come from praying. It doesn't come from spending time with the Lord. It doesn't come from walking in the Spirit. It doesn't come from any of those things. We can have joy in our lives. And why? It's a fruit of the Spirit. But it seems like we do everything we can to just kill it. Why? Because we're just living in the lust of the flesh. So that sounds like deep, dark sin. And I'm not living in deep, dark sin. No, maybe it's the news. If the news constantly steals your joy and makes you angry, stop paying attention to the news. Well, I have to know what's going on. Well, be miserable. You and everyone else will know it. Right? I don't want to trade that. I don't want to trade. Listen, I have a crabby disposition to begin with. All right? I don't need to, like, feed that. I don't need to constantly be I need to look up something that's going to make me mad. I need to look up something that's going to be really discouraging. That's what I need to do. No, we don't need that. We need less of that. We need more of the fruit of the Spirit. Someone at the workplace is like, oh, boy, you're not in a good mood, huh? What happened? Oh, I went to church this weekend and blah, just life. And they're like, wow. And in those moments when you overcome yourself and invite them to church, you're like, wait a minute. I don't want that. Why? Because they're always mad. They're always angry. They have no joy. Love, joy, peace. Isn't that what we say we're looking for? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Dwelling on the things of God and the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the Spirit, we can have peace, long-suffering. We can suffer long with one another. I'm glad the Lord's long-suffering with me. Whew. Every once in a while, I'm like, well, that's the last time. There's no way that God is going to be okay with it moving forward. It's just one too many times. The Lord's like, I'll forgive you. Why? He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. And you and I, we can be long-suffering with circumstances and with people. We can take a deep breath every once in a while. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Not just having faith, but living your faith. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, what is that? Humility. I know what it's like when someone gets an attitude with you, what do you want to do? Get the attitude right back. Right? Because that's the only thing that could be fair. And a fruit of the Spirit is meekness, it's humility. Temperance, having some self-control. I know, every single one of these points could have been an entire message in and of itself. But after the reaction of the message this morning, I couldn't take 3 weeks of... So I'm glad the Lord gave it to me all in 1 week. He's going to unload it all. Sometimes it feels like you're dying up here. Like, whew, I feel alone. I understand. Some of these are hard things. Why? Well, because sometimes you don't have any signs of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God's inside going, woo, love this message. I'm right here. Didn't go anywhere. And we're like, keep it down. Trying to have some joy here. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit being goodness and righteousness and truth. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's goodness, it's righteousness, it's truth in us. What? It's signs of the Spirit. Are you saved this morning? Do you have the signs of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of you? Are they in your life? Do you have fellowship with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you have the signs that you're filled with the Spirit? You're prone to do what the Holy Spirit of God is trying to tell you to do? Do you have any fruit of the Spirit in your life that's evident? Well, I'm happy. Leave me alone about it. Okay. False. Every once in a while, the fruit of the Spirit should show up in our lives. Every once in a while, the filling of the Holy Spirit should be in our lives to where, man, we just want to do something for the Lord. Just allow ourselves to be influenced by the Spirit of God to do what He wants us to do. And the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives. Why? Because they are signs of the Spirit. And if you're saved, thank God He's given us His Holy Spirit. And along with that comes His comfort. And along with that comes His teaching and His guidance. And along with that comes Him sealing us under the day of redemption. Holy Spirit of God has control of our salvation. And man, He's got it wrapped up in Him. Man, thank God for all those things. But if we have all those benefits in our lives, there should be some signs of the Spirit evident in our lives and to those around us. And God help us with it this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer.